Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
Did you know that 2 in 5 Americans want to start a new business or are business owners? Well, we have lots of information to help them too.
And we also talk a little about the intellectual property that helps them flourish.
We're going to talk to Jason Greenwood right now. He has Greenwood Consulting. He works in the area of e-commerce and has helped so many people with his company. So welcome, Jason. Tell us all about it.
I grew up in Southern California, born and raised, went to school in Southern California as well. Then in my early 20s, moved to New Zealand. Lived in New Zealand for almost 30 years. And then a year and a half ago, my wife and I moved to Mexico. We now live in Puebla City, Mexico. So we're in Latam now. A lot of what you said resonated with me, I guess, in terms of getting outside your comfort zone, traveling, experiencing new places, experiencing new languages, experiencing new foods, new ways of life, new ways of looking at the world, not only as a person, but also as a business person, and trying to take those ideas and create a world that you want to live in at the end of the day, instead of letting your life be a victim of circumstance, actually create the life with intention that you want to live. And that's what I'd like to think I've been able to do. And one of the reasons why I started my independent consultancy 4 years ago after being in the industry for over 20 years was that I did want to be able to have that location freedom. I did want to be able to have that financial freedom. I was already servicing clients all around the world anyway. And if there's a silver lining to COVID at all for our industry, it was the fact that anybody working in the e-commerce space has pretty much been able to work remotely forever. But the reality is that pre-COVID, clients, especially whether you had an agency or whether you're a consultant or whatever, clients would at least have the expectation they would meet you one time in person. They'd shake your hand. They'd eyeball you. Maybe you'd do a presentation to the board of directors, whatever it is. Then they'd shake your hand and sign on the dotted line. The beautiful thing about COVID is that even that basic prerequisite of doing business with you was removed. And now my clients have zero expectation that they will ever meet me in person. Now, luckily, I now that the world's back opened back up again, if I'm in their neck of the woods, I'll make an extra effort to go and visit them at their office or whatever the case may be. But there's no expectation that that will happen.
I have to ask, though, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think making a business connection is pretty easy to do remotely. Making an emotional connection is hard to do. That's how I'd characterize that. And so certainly the in-person thing, that's why I continually go to conferences and I'm speaking at conferences. I try to do as many in-person things in my industry as I can. And I also put out content. I've got over 430 episodes of my podcast released, The E-Commerce Edge Podcast. I put out content almost every single day on LinkedIn and Reddit and across multiple other channels. So I think that fortunately for me, because I've got such a large corpus of content in the world, people usually, by the time they come to me, they feel like they already know me. They got to know me through my content. And so more than anything else, they just want to try to figure out, are you really the same guy? Like when we're talking business, are you the same guy?
You don't edit your podcast too much.
I do want to point out that I did go and look for YouTube videos of each of you. Now, Arsten's was in German, but I kind of followed along. That's okay. But that's the first thing I do if I'm going to meet somebody is I go look for them on YouTube. Because I do want to get a sense of who they are. But I do want to ask you, Jason, did you work in the e-commerce field and then went and started your own consultancy based on what you knew in corporate? And how did that transition go?
So I'd already been working in the industry for 20 years by the time I started my consultancy. So I've been working in the industry for 24 years now. That's a long time. That's, you know, I would be certainly one of the older generation working in this industry. There's not that many people that have more than 20 years of experience in e-commerce.
There wasn't e-commerce 30 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it was certainly hard. Let's put it that way. When I first started working in the e-commerce world, everything about e-commerce was difficult. Nobody trusted it. Technology was difficult. Internet was slow. Like everything about e-commerce was hard. So it certainly got tremendously easier to get started in e-commerce. But I would say it's just as hard, if not harder now, to be successful in e-commerce because there's so much competition there now.
I want to go back to this question about in-person versus Zoom a little bit.
Remote technology has allowed me to service clients globally, right? I don't have to physically be there with them. So I have clients in Europe, I've got clients in LATAM, I've got clients in North America, I've got clients in ANZ. You know, it definitely makes it easier to address a global audience through your content and then service global clients with remote technology. So there's definitely benefits to that. But I can tell you that as someone that was heavily involved in conferences pre-COVID and is now still heavily involved in conferences post-COVID, I couldn't personally wait for the world to open back up again so that I could be with my peers, hanging out with my peers. And sometimes, because we're geographically isolated, oftentimes conferences and industry events are the only time in a year that we might physically be together in person. And I would always go out of my way to organize after parties, dinners, drinks, those sorts of things, those social activities outside of the conference environment, wherever we're able to be there together. And it's just a good opportunity and reason for us to be in the same place at the same time. So I think there's no replacing the human connection. And we still can't translate that through the screen just yet.
I agree with what you said in your intro, that sticking your head above everybody else in e-commerce is like trying to be a drop in the ocean and trying to differentiate yourself. What do you do with people with your e-commerce? So I'm assuming that you take people and help them figure out how to rise above the noise with their e-commerce company. Is that a correct interpretation?
It is somewhat. I have, for the last 4 years, I've niched down more and more and more into the B2B e-commerce space. So helping manufacturers, wholesalers, and distributors establish digital routes to market. So that's quite different. You know, the first three quarters of my career, I was working with B2C and D2C brands. So, you know, businesses selling to consumers, right? And manufacturers, wholesalers, and distributors selling to consumers. But latterly, what I recognized when I first started my consultancy is that B2C and D2C e-commerce consulting is very red ocean. It's absolutely saturated. Every consultant, every agency, everybody wants to work with the household name retail brands. But what I witnessed, and this is one of those, goes back to that pattern recognition thing that I mentioned earlier. I saw that especially during COVID, B2B brands started to realize, oh my God, our sales reps can't go on the road. They can't go to job sites. They can't go and take orders in person. They can't go schmooze. They can't go knock on doors to win new customers. Historically, manufacturers, wholesalers, and distributors have relied on field sales as the primary drivers of their business. And during COVID, that string to their bow was largely taken away from them. And so they realized, we're not prepared to have like 90% of our revenue come through digital channels. We're just not set up to support that. And so I recognized that B2Bs, manufacturers, wholesalers, and distributors, are about 5 to 10 years behind their B2C and D2C counterparts when it comes to digital capabilities and digital knowledge and digital skills. So now I have focused very much on helping these brands architect, design, not only their technology stack, but their processes, their go-to-market, their channel mix, all that stuff. That's what I help those brands with. So I help them with search and select for their technology, for their implementation partners, et cetera.
I do want to go to Karsten for comments or questions.
I agree that personal meeting, for me, it's still the way to go. I do Zoom all the time, but I still try to get the in-person meeting as often as I can. And I even fly around the world to do that because I totally agree that there's still something missing when you do it online. It never beats the personal experience. And I believe in business, if you want to build this relationship you mentioned before, then you have to be ready to meet in person still. It may be different in the future, I don't know, and probably the younger generation is growing up with this technology. I mean, we had to get used to it, and the younger people, they grow up with it. So it's probably different. But from my point of view, to do business, I still prefer in-person meeting.
Jason, when we were on the phone, you mentioned that B2B was sort of like the Wild West when it comes to coming up with systems, because it is so different and it is more complicated. What would a beginning entrepreneur who wants to be in the B2B market, wants to use e-commerce, what kind of advice would you have for them to help it work as smooth as possible with as little money as possible?
Depending on the category or the market that they're working in, there are different preferred ways of doing digital business with each other. If I'm a manufacturer, for example, and I'm wanting to sell via distributors and those distributors want to do business with me. They want to buy off me as the manufacturer. What is very, very common in the digital world for distributors is what's called e-procurement, meaning they've got a procurement system inside their business, and they do that procurement digitally. They do it electronically. It can either be part of their ERP or it can be standalone procurement system. And they want to do it that way. They want to buy that way because it's more efficient for them to buy that way than to ring up their sales rep at the manufacturer or to send an email or to send a fax or whatever. All of the execution of the transaction and the pulling down of the product catalog from the manufacturer into their e-procurement system, they want to do that in an automated way. They want to be as efficient as possible because distribution margins are razor thin. And so if they have a choice of working with one manufacturer who doesn't support digital purchasing, and then they have the opportunity of working with a manufacturer that does support digital purchasing, they can save themselves 1, 2, 3% worth of cost of procurement by doing things digitally. And so that's what's called punch out. It's colloquially called punch out. So there's a catalog that the manufacturer can send electronically to their e-procurement system. They place the order through their e-procurement system and a purchase order number, and then that is transmitted back to the manufacturer electronically. So in addition to self-service e-commerce, like what we see in the B2C world, in the B2B world, there's three different digital sales channels. There's the punch out I just referred to. There's EDI, electronic data interchange, which is one ERP talking to another ERP.
What is an ERP?
Enterprise resource planning system. So it's a back office business system. Then the final way, which is what I primarily help specialize in, is what's called self-service e-commerce, allowing manufacturers, wholesalers, and distributors to set up an e-commerce website where their customers can log in, they can see the catalog, they can add products to their shopping cart, and they can check out. And then they usually are purchasing on account, and then they get billed for that after the fact. They get billed on an invoice basis, just like they would in the traditional person-to-person B2B world. So that's really where I help. A lot of the brands I work with, they are an existing direct-to-consumer brand that, say, for example, might have a Shopify website for their D2C sales, their customer retail sales. And Shopify now has some limited B2B capability in their Shopify Plus edition of the platform. And so a lot of these D2C brands, they will dip their toes in the water of B2B by starting to offer tiered pricing or custom pricing as a tiptoe, a way to tiptoe into that. So they can still use their Shopify platform, but now they're offering custom pricing to their B2B customers based on volume purchasing and based on an on-account credit-based purchase instead of having to put in their credit card every single time they make a purchase.
So this sounds like a very complicated field. I think you can't just jump into it and know what you're doing. I think people probably need a consultant for this. How do people find you?
Greenwoodconsulting.net is my website. They can also go to The E-commerce Edge on any podcast platform and YouTube. We've got over 430 episodes there that gets all the way from the basics into the nitty-gritty of e-commerce. And I have some amazing guests with an incredible array of knowledge. And then, of course, connect with me on LinkedIn. I put content on LinkedIn almost every day.
I strongly recommend that you follow up with Jason and check out what he has to offer.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey and Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X,
and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.